This time around, I'm grateful to be joined by Christian Prosperi. He joined the ASAP Imagination family with his participation in the Perspectives Anthology, which I had the chance to talk about with founder Hades a time back. Now, Christian Prosperi has available for pre-order Across the Astral Frontier, an anthology of cosmic horror. That's right, cosmic horror. Smile as soon as this starts, because the first thing that comes to mind is this all started with meeting L.A. Cunningham and then meeting Hades, and then I've just sort of been rolling through so many people from ASAP Imagination. Like, it's clear they're happy to talk about their stories, and I'm going to include you among those. Like, you know, definitely, yeah. It's you were one of the first to respond when I sent out a mass email, like, hey, I've been included in this big email from Hades, and the whole idea here is who wants to tell their story, who wants to talk about the fact you've got something, ASAP Imagination has it, and we're going to tell you all the reasons why you might be interested. So I think I'll probably start off with the fact, one, your first name is Christian, but what's the best way to pronounce your last name? Is it Prosperi? Prosperi?
Yeah, Prosperi, kind of just phonetically. Okay. I feel like how it's spelled. I feel like... I am from, you know, I got some Italian descent and some French in there. So I feel like it could be along the lines of like Prosperi, you know, if you really wanted to get, you know, pretentious with it. But no, the Americanized version is Prosperi.
We'll go ahead and stick with the one that sounds most familiar. As yeah. You pointed out, phonetically, it seems to work well. And yep. Why mess with things that work well? And I was introduced to you through ASAP Imagination. You've actually got two projects going with them right now. The previous one was Perspectives, and then yep. We've got Across the Astral Frontier, which for me yep. feels like already like a Beatles allude, you know, across the universe kind of vibe to it. But which one would you like to start with first?
Well, it's kind of cool. They're both going to... I'll start with Perspectives because that'll actually lead sure. into Across the Astral Frontier. So,
perfect.
It's kind of how I like actually just met, you know, Paul and Lori, L.A. Cunningham and Hades on Twitter. We were just kind of like, I followed Lauren and she followed me, and we just kind of, you know, we're in the whole writing community thing. Right. Just book Twitter, whatever that is, that entity. And they had started their company, right? It was a thing that I was kind of paying attention to because I kind of saw that, you know, from just tweets and stuff like that. And then they had put out a submission guideline for one of their first things that they're actually, it was the first thing, I think, in the anyone world is what they call it. And we'll get into that. I'm sure a few of them may have explained it to you already. But they put out this submission for, hey, are there anybody have any short stories for us, you know, horror or fantasy or sci-fi? And I was like, yes, I've got all those. But I had a particular one that I've been working on quite a bit and one that I wanted to turn into something more. And so I submitted and they accepted it. And Perspectives is really cool because if people don't know, and if you don't know, and you might, but it's 100% donated to the Dyspraxia Foundation. So everybody that did it, the cover art and the editor and all the authors in there, you know, we all just were like, yeah, this is a really cool thing. Not only do we get published by this really cool up and coming company, but we get to, you know, donate and all the proceeds go to charities, to the Dyspraxia Foundation, which is really cool. And, you know, something that Hades has a personal relationship, you know, with. So that was really cool. But yeah, they took one of my stories and they published my first publication ever, which is the coolest thing, right? Like, it was wild.
Best feeling in the world.
It really is. You work on stuff so long, you know, and you kind of just, and I know some people probably have really awesome experiences with it, you know, and I've had great experiences writing, but it took a long time to get published. And it's like, it's almost surreal. Like, it takes so long sometimes. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, is this really happening now, finally? What? This is a weird new development in this whole process of nothing happening. So that was really cool. And so that's how I kind of met them, and that's how Perspectives started. And Perspectives actually took a story called my story. A ton of amazing stories, too. There's 16 authors in there. I can't talk about this book enough because they're all really good. All of them are really good. And a lot of them were first-time publications like me, too. So it was just such a cool thing to be a part of. But my story in there, it's called Murmuring John and the Recording of Alexander Williams. And it's a sci-fi cosmic horror short story. What's cool about that is it's actually the first story in Across the Astral Frontier. So it was already a part of this bigger idea. And Paul, you know, we had talked, and Lauren, we had talked, and he goes, okay, well, he reached out to me and he goes, well, you know, I like you. You seem pretty cool. I like your stuff, obviously. What else do you got? And so I told him about this project that was connected to the story that he published, that they published. And I was explaining to him how I had other projects in the works, but I was like, I wanted to use this one to dip my toes into self-publishing, you know, and try that frontier of the whole thing. And he goes, well, just don't do that. Just publish it through us. And I was like, oh, okay. And then that led into, you know, Across the Astral Frontier. So that's kind of how they're connected. Yeah, it's been a wild ride so far the last couple of years with them, I think. So
that's amazing. I do know of the story behind Perspectives from awesome. From Hades when he was describing, you know, what the idea was about, like, hey, we're the first to do this. And it was a great opportunity to sort of be a pioneer in that way. You know, that great sort of way that you can say, hey, there's nothing like being the first to do this. And also, what a great opportunity to meet all of the people that you've met. And what the future can hold. As you pointed out, you've got a story that you included that now is leading off Across the Astral Frontier, which would be a fun thing for me to hear more about. How does this story, maybe give us a little bit of a clue as to how this story introduces people to that world, and then how it can play like this interesting bridge between Perspectives to Across the Astral Frontier?
Yeah, totally. So this whole project was, I've been writing novels for a while, you know, and I've been trying to get through, you know, through the query stuff. And I was like, you know what, I think it's time to focus a little bit. I want to start writing a little bit of short story stuff. And so, of course, I was, you know, reading a lot of horror shorts, a lot of Lovecraft, you know, all the regular stuff, you know, and a bunch of different ones too. But yeah, so I just wanted to get this overall feel of, like, for Murmuring John and the Recording of Alexander Williams, it's essentially this guy who is, he's on a spacewalk and he detaches from his ship. And, you know, he's floating, and it's kind of his recollection of all these different weird things that are happening to him that are similar to that happened to another guy named Murmuring John, and all the freaky things that happened. And so he's kind of starting to go through the same process, kind of doomed in similar environments. And he thinks, you know, it's hard to tell if things are actually happening to him, or if things actually happened to Murmuring John, or if they both are just collectively, or just losing their minds, you know, in the same sort of environment. So I try to tote the line with that and that story. And that's kind of the overall feeling I want to give for Across the Astral Frontier, too. It's because it's like, for me, I wanted to create, so it's a collection. The book is actually a collection of 8 short stories that all sort of are isolated or seemingly isolated that do connect. And I have fun little things here and there, but there is an overarching, like, you know, whole story with all of them. And I definitely wanted to portray the whole idea of humanity in the far future, right? And we thought we were confined to our solar system for so long, and then this sort of new-ish technology came about once we were able to, you know, directly observe dark matter and all that kind of fun stuff. And then instead of, you know, waiting and not, you know, and taking any cautions as humans do, we fall back into the same pattern of wanting to just go and explore, and you know, people will pay so much money to push that whole thing. And so the whole idea is about kind of that, like humanity sort of reaching before it should. And, you know, we start spreading and spreading across, you know, people call it in my book, they call it the sprawl. You know, everything outside of the home solar system is the sprawl. And everybody, we just keep sort of going. And, you know, it's about all these sort of harrowing tales of mystery and, I guess, you know, what's real, what's not, you know, are these weird, crazy things actually happening? Or are these people losing their minds out here in these different situations, you know, and stuff? Just your, like you said, your regular cosmic horror stuff. And I don't know, it's been an absolute trip to write, I tell you that. There's some weird ones in there, I'm telling you. So, you know, buckle up, I guess.
It's always fun to, you know, explore just how wild your imagination can get with something. And I think space always works for such a great concept because we know so little about it. It's this completely foreign environment in which we do not naturally exist. And therefore, everything about our involvement is contradictory to how it usually functions. Us being there is just sort of like, okay, well, how'd they get here? Are they supposed to be... And in most conditions, right, it's a vacuum, so it feels very uninviting. It certainly does not feel like it's welcoming in any way.
Yeah, definitely not.
And there can be a horror, a terror to it. I mean, there's been so many different classic works that have said, what if it's not benevolent joy? What if this idea that we're embarking on could actually have such terrifying dangers folded into it? And what if we're looking for things and not, well, prepared for the possibility of what we might discover along the way that's dangerous, could alter everything we treasure, kind of a feeling to it? I feel like maybe I'm striking some vibes similar to what you're talking about with your stories.
No, absolutely. Totally. That's exactly what it is. It's, you know, 'cause you get out there and, you know, I do some time jumps, you know, with different things here. And so at the points where all these stories are happening, humanity's gotten a little comfortable out there a little bit while still not really truly understanding it all. Like you said, like, it's just this so unnatural environment for humans and to be in and to really explore that far. Like, we're pretty confined to the Earth, and I don't think people realize how actually, and especially our solar system, you know, and there's been some really successful stories and some really cool iterations of what life is going to look like within our solar system, you know, with like the expanse and stuff like that, and how the, like all the science behind that is just so cool. But outside of our, like, people, I don't know, I don't think we're getting outside of our solar system too far, you know, 'cause it's so uninviting, like you said, and there's going to be so much out there. I think that we're probably not going to run into, but if we did, we would have no idea what the heck's going on. You know, the different environments for planets. I feel like you follow a lot of astronomy stuff in this line of work of sci-fi writing and interest, I think. And I feel like every other week there's like a new study out that's like, oh, this planet defies all physics. Like, we didn't think this could exist. And it's like, yeah, well, because we don't know anything about space. Like, we do, and what we do is horrifying to me, at least, you know. So I don't know. But yeah, you nailed it. That's kind of what I was going for, that whole vibe, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to then just, you know, follow up and say, to a degree, did this lead to potentially some, you know, sleepless nights? I mean, I was the kid who was raised in a mildly religious very religious environment. I try to tame it. But it was one of those where I didn't handle the whole idea of like, yeah, well, you know, you get, you know, then there's eternity after you die. And I'm like, what? It just keeps going? It just keeps going. I'm never going to sleep anymore, ever again. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. It's a concept where I feel like it's a wall, and we've taken a little bit of a drill or something and poked a hole in, and we're like, hey, we can see. And it's like, yeah, but you see that much. The rest of it is what we're not aware of. And when you talk about those discoveries that we're making, yeah, as you point out, well, of course, I mean, let's keep in mind the fact that this was our frame of reference and we're gradually expanding to that. But beyond that, that's what we know. We think.
We think. Yeah, exactly. We think we know. And that's it.
No, so,
it's crazy. Like that. Sorry. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
Just wanted to go back to the beginning of that whole ramble, which was, so yeah, you know, were there sleepless nights, and was there also just this sort of like wonder about, like, every time a new headline pops up, are you like, oh, does that fit? Am I Huh. You know, because the fact that we're constantly discovering so much more and so much of that can inform your understanding about this future that you're writing about. Always kind of the challenge when you're writing about the future, right? You're looking so far in, and yet you're basing it on what you know now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That is kind of what's tough about that. So, like, I definitely had some sleepless nights. I would freak myself out a little bit, you know, when you start thinking about things like Murmuring John, you know, and Alexander Williams, you know, floating for 50 something days as much as they did, right? You know, and like in the nothingness and their thought, like, you know, and you start thinking about that, like, what would that actually, that would be actually horrible, like probably like one of the worst fates possible, right? Like, right. Yeah, like in this, the void. And so, yeah, that some of that stuff definitely freaks me out. And the whole idea of like, I think a big undertone of the book and what I like try to portray too is like, I really try to like I think I like cosmic horror the most because it does delve into the emotions, I think, more than most horrors. What I mean by that is like, you know, you have your thrillers that are just like the superficial feelings like fear and scare and like this guy is chasing me, right, and with a knife, and that is horrifying. That is definitely an emotion. I think I love cosmic horror the most is because it puts you in these situations and it puts these people and characters in these situations, and the thing has already happened. Like, it's happened, and now it's like the character's sort of understanding of it, which, going back to what you said, like with space and stuff, when we don't understand things, it's a really such a great environment to write cosmic horror, because you could put these people in these situations and these characters, and you just kind of get to unravel how they're going to deal with it. And, you know, make it through or not make it through. And do they crack or do they persevere? Or do they do all these things? And that's why I love it. But definitely freaked me out thinking about a few of these things. Because, like, what would I do in this situation that I just wrote and probably not make it? I probably wouldn't make it. You know? So, I don't know.
I have to wonder then, just to you know, enjoy possible familiarity and thinking, are you one of those who, when you were watching movies as a kid and they would do the, okay, everybody take a deep breath, we got to swim to the next tunnel, where you're like,
yeah, no,
let's see how long I can make it, because you know, you know you never do as far as they do, you're always like and then they're still swimming along and you're like, how do they get as, you know, I don't understand. Yeah. I'm not gonna make it in this situation,
and you're like, that's it, I'm gone. Like, right. That's why I stay away from water, man. I don't like open water. I freak myself out because I definitely do that kind of stuff. And it totally hits, man. Because, you know.
It's not an easy thing to accept that you're facing a force that's so much more powerful than you are. I do get to swim, and sometimes you get knocked by a wave pretty good, or if we're surfing, and suddenly you're just like, I am now at mercy. Like, the only thing that's going to happen here is me fighting, and maybe I win and maybe I don't. But at the moment you're powerless, you're completely powerless, and space in the same way.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And if we want to talk about freaky, yeah, the ocean freaks me out too, just like space. Almost worse, because it's here. It's on the planet with me.
And it's almost as dangerous to explore. Like, we can hang out here, but you get down below a certain level and you see creatures moving in ways that you're like, yeah, this is your environment. I simply am a visitor here, and that's all I can ever really be.
Yeah, just like what we were talking about with the like the astronomy news coming out with something new. I feel like there's new deep sea creatures every other week too. That I'm like, what is that freaky thing? You know, like, it's this like, we don't know anything about.
How can that kill me? Can that kill me? Do I have to worry? Is this a new like, put it on the list of things I don't want to die from?
Right. Is this thing gonna come lurching up on the beach?
And yet at the same time, it for all those fears, I really think with space, at least, it hasn't slowed down our desire to continue being interested in it. The things you pointed out as being like great references, Expanse was one I really dug into when I was going through a couple of projects, and I was like, I need this thing on in the background. Really enjoyed having a lot of fun just sort of following not only this like concept of like what happens when you can access more resources. Do we change? Do we just get worse? What if we access a resource that's so far beyond it that even understanding how we can benefit or utilize it becomes part of the challenge? So we
we seem to know that there's these horrifying fears that go with it, and yet that doesn't stop us from going, yeah, but what if? What if? Let's keep chasing. So with your characters, clearly, exactly. Let's let's find out. Or, you know, it's happening anyway, so I might as well, you know, choose my own fate about how I'm going to be affected by it or involved in it or something like that.
Yeah.
I love that you started your story out with characters in this way. And I'm thinking, have you always written stories starting with characters in situations that are kind of harrowing like this? Or was it something that you were drawn to first because of stories? Did the writing precede any of the reading, or did you find yourself reading things that then later inspired you to write? I find like it's always an interesting origin, because I get a kick out of those people that are like, yeah, before I picked up a book, I was like three stapling pages together and drawing stuff and writing stuff. And I'm like, wow, that I'm not sure if that was me, but I read a lot. And then I got into, you know, so everybody's got a different, how did I get here? So I was curious how that started for you.
Yeah, so man, I was kind of like one of those weird kids you were talking about a little bit. So like
I'm not jealous, I swear. I just
No, I know. Oh, are you recording continue smoothly, video return when okay, cool, we're good. Looks like we just got a dip in internet a little bit. That's all right though. I thought you disconnected, so we're good. I read a lot too, but I also like I would draw a lot, and then I thought I would. So I started out my first actual like book or my first writing. I guess it wasn't even a book; it was just like whatever. But it was Pokemon fan fiction in the journal. I was supposed to be writing journal entries, you know. And I started doing Pokemon fan fiction, and I cut all with the drawings and like little stories, you know, self-inserted myself as the hero. Cause you know, I wanted to live in the Pokemon world forever. And then I did a lot of other stuff growing up. I was a big nerd my whole life, obviously, you know, but like, I was also like, you know, as far as like video games and anime and just all that stuff from an early age and Pokemon and, all these different things. But I also played sports all year round. I did like track. So like those hobbies when I was a kid fell off as I started taking those things more seriously, like in high school. And I went to college and I played football. And then once I was done with that, I was like, what am I going to do? And I just had all these stories still freaking tinkering around and all this stuff that I wanted to get out. And I was like, I think it's time to switch gears, you know? And that's kind of how I shifted it. But yeah, so it like my stories are like, I feel like they are derived from the thing, my things I did early on, for sure. And it just kind of depends. Like, you have written a few things. I've got another book out, or not out, but something I'm trying to work on. It's kind of like a Mass Effect, Star Wars-y sort of more commercial sci-fi fantasy, you know what I mean? And then I've got this that's like the sci-fi horror, and they're both definitely influenced by different things, you know? And so I think you asked me at one point, like, do I start with characters all the time? And I think I try, at the very least, I try to start with a character, or a few characters, because I think you can tell a character-driven story in any genre and it be like, it could be successful. You know what I mean? So, obviously when you have things like fantasy and sci-fi and, you know, us big nerds, like we want the description of the worlds and the world building. We want all the cool lasers and we want the swords, you know, and the magic or whatever it is. But all the best ones, I mean, like, I feel like, you know, you starting with the characters, right? And so that was what was so fun about Across the Astral Frontier, is because, like I was saying, like with cosmic horror, I think cosmic horror is so human emotion focused. I think like it was really fun to just focus all the stories on the characters. Like, okay, here's this event that's happening in this particular story, and what are these characters, like, how are these characters reacting? So I feel like it's so much, I like to really get into like the human reaction, you know, of these things a lot, you know, with these things and how different people from different backgrounds are reacting to these crazy situations, you know? And I think that was so much fun to write. And like I said, that particularly was, you know, I think influenced by other cosmic horror stuff that I've read or watched, you know. obviously Lovecraft was a big influence. I was reading a lot then, and I was like, you know what? I think I want to write some short stories, kind of like this, but maybe in space. You know, but then you watch other cool things like Archive 81. I love that show on Netflix, and just different video games that I've played throughout my life because I'm a huge gamer, and I think video games are underrepresented in the story department of things. And I love like games like Alan Wake, right? It's a writer who gets lost in his own story and, you know, and is this like thriller horror set in the mountains kind of, you know? And so just like, I've taken a lot of different things, but in all those examples, I feel like they're all super, super character driven. So that's why it was so fun to write Across the Astral Frontier, like with that in mind, you know, that was really fun. That was a ramble. I'm sorry.
Sounds like you also... You're fine. I'm a big fan of the ramble. I'm someone who does it enough where I find myself going, oh man, I'm supposed to be interviewing somebody and I'm just rambling here. So I need to, you know, rein myself in a little bit. I'm supposed to be asking you questions, but it's really easy. And the worst is that my wife listens to podcasts and she listens to a couple. And there's a few she doesn't listen to as much now because she's like, they end up talking too much about themselves. I appreciate that they're a celebrity or a, you know, a name, but the moment it becomes more about them, she's out. And I'll hear it when we're listening and I'm like, ooh, don't do that. Ooh, don't. No. Okay.
Okay.
That's the line. See that right there? See what he did? Yeah.
That's
stop.
You. Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't be that. Right. That's your line. I'm not going to describe the stuff I have here. Like, don't. No, I'm kidding. But I think the thing that catches my attention too with that is that you also probably get the chance to have one of the broadest spectrums of characters when you're talking about something like Across the Astral Frontier, because when you're thinking about characters, they can't all be, you know, hi, this is 35-year-old male named Jim. Totally. And we're going to talk about Jim in each story, and basically we're all starting from the same place. You lose interest writing that story. You're going to lose interest reading it. Instead, you get to capture stories about characters from all different walks. Were there any surprises where, like, maybe you create a character you weren't expecting, or you saw a place in sci-fi or maybe in a new technology thing where you're like, so what happens if somebody... And then, you know, the process just sort of has that snowball effect. Suddenly you've got an avalanche. But... were any of those a surprise to you, or did they all feel really intentional? You know, that you were just like, I have this idea and I know exactly what kind of story I'm going to tell, and this is how it fits into this collection that I'm writing.
Yeah, I had it kind of varied. And like you were saying, what was so fun about about this is that all these different stories have different characters. And so I took it, so like with short stories and like a few of these get pretty long there. I got to admit, I don't think I stayed within the parameters of short stories for a couple of them. They get a little long. I'm a wordy dude. And so,
so it could be short stories and a couple novellas.
Exactly.
Just throwing
yeah.
that out there.
Yeah.
For,
so,
you know,
for,
you've been told.
Just be prepared for that, y'all. But
wait a minute. You're getting more for your money? I'm throwing that in there too. Value? Value. And, sorry, go on. You were saying.
No, interesting. You value some value in there. Yeah. So, but what was so fun about the characters is like the first one opens up with astronauts, right? And like star jumpers, explorers. And then I've got other ones where it's like a jump station, you know, technician. Jump stations are what they use to, you know, jump and go through because on this technology that they found out. So I've got a technician there. And then I've got one that are just regular old geologists that go to different planets and, you know, study how life might thrive there or whatever, whatever. And then I've got two called Jump Dust Twins, and they're these twins that are essentially homeless people on these jump stations and stuff like that. So it was really fun to use the characters to world build. You know what I mean? Because you said, you can't use the same characters, or like you don't want to start and use the same thing over and over again. I was like, okay, well, I've only got a finite amount of time in all these stories. So how can I really world build with all these different characters? Like, what does this character do within the world to make it like, you know, blow up a little bit? Something I can talk about. I've also got, you know, characters that are like these agents, almost like X-Files agents, who are studying all these weird cosmic anomalies going on. So it's like it places the idea that we know things are kind of going on with all these, you know, other things, but obviously it's secret, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So it was really fun to write in that aspect, and go from there, and use really use that to build it. But I can't remember what you asked me at on the second part of that, but
I think the main thing that I was curious about was, you know, if there were any surprises that came out of that right. process, you know, yeah. Oh, my little dog suddenly got excited. So if you hear some woofing in the background, he's being tough. but the idea of, you know, you're working on something and you're like, oh, well that, okay, well let's try that. That's new. You know, so were there any that were surprises, or did it all feel like they started from a place that was very clear and they went sort of the way you intended?
Yeah, no, I think there was a few of them. There was only a few of them that I really had like solidly thought out. Usually I would start with either a character or like an event, something crazy that would happen. Right. And so like, and I'd be like, oh, that's a cool idea. And that could be a story. Let me think about this a little bit more. Sometimes it would happen with either like somebody, like a person, like the agents, the FBI agents, or they're not the FBI agents. They're, what are they called? I can't even remember. This is my own book. They're essentially the X-Files agents that are in my book that I wrote.
It's so secretive. He's blocked his own mind from yeah. telling us just exactly. who they might be. You will learn. And the question is, will you remember? Is it almost like they've got that little ray, you know? Anyways, yeah. you were saying, we've got these agents, they're kind of report, right?
You're going to get flashy thingy. Yeah, exactly. My own character's flashy thingy me from Men in Black. No, but so it would. So some things I knew, a couple of them surprised me, right? So I had like, there was one where it's like I have this, it's like I call them startup colonies, and then a space station above it, right? And then all of a sudden the moon that they're around or that they were building on, or the planet, I guess, that the moon was orbiting is gone. It's just gone. So you have these two different groups, one on the surface and one in this jump or in this, you know, space station that are kind of communicating back and forth. I'm like, okay, this, what's going on? We need to figure out where we're at in space. We don't know why we left, you know. Gravity and oxygen are gone on this moon. We don't know why. We need to find survivors. And then there's a couple survivors, right? And they're kind of communicating back and forth, sort of. And that one was one where I was like, I didn't really know how I was going to do it and pull it off. But kind of going back to what you said, I was like, this is such a cool idea. I don't know how I have to try, you know? And the process for that ended up turning into this story that I really love. And I'm like, kind of, I don't know, surprised that it turned out. Like, it turned out how I kind of envisioned it once I started working it and stuff. Cause I essentially tell it through like video logs. Cause like I said, I love video games. And I think video games do such a good job at giving you so many backstory through like video logs or like pieces of writing that you find. You can find all these little tales, you know, through things that you find. And I was like, I kind of want to tell a whole story like that though. So like I have like these just video logs that are kind of going back and forth and they kind of meet up at a different time frame and they kind of go apart and just, and I was like, that was one where I was like, okay, that started with an idea, just like just a physical, like, okay, what happens if a planet or a moon just goes missing out in the middle of nowhere and you got these people that need to figure out how to get, one, where they're at, two, how to get home, you know, sort of thing, you know, and like, they don't know what's going on, they're past trying to figure it out, and now they're just trying on to survive it, you know. And then, like I said, you got the ones that are pretty solid, where like I was like, okay, I want to definitely introduce characters that are like know about these weird things that are happening in the universe, keep it secret, kind of like the X-Files stuff. How do I build a story around that? And the process was always different. And I did, like I said, surprise myself a little bit. Every once in a while I would see something and I'd be like, oh man, I should probably try to put that in my book. Is it too late? And, you know, try to incorporate something into like, well, can this fit in this story or can it fit in this story? You know, what am I exactly, you know, where can I squeeze this cool thing? But
it's a fun moment for me to dive into process because I'm curious for each person how they get to those places, you know. Yeah. I was recently doing an assignment where I was explaining to the person I was writing for. They were like, yeah, well, how are we going to solve this problem? And I was like, well, I think we're going to have to write to this point. And then after we do, I'm going to turn around and say, okay, you know, where's our solution at? Or we're going to discover something further down that's going to allow us to come back and answer that question. Yeah. But sometimes with my process, it's you have to write all the way through to beyond where you're trying to solve the problem and just be like, yeah, this is what happens. Move on and come back. I've also heard a great one, which just drove me nuts. My dad loved to tell me writing stories that he would tell me what it was and he wouldn't tell me where he got it from. So it's just like this like myth in my head. I know it exists somewhere, and I know there's someone connected to it. But he was like, yeah, I knew this person who, I heard this story that they would take a nap. They'd tell themselves that there was a problem with their story, and they'd take a nap, and they'd wake up with the solution. And I'm like, who does that? You know, that's not me. I'm now insanely jealous of this person. And wait, no, I'm fine with it. But right, you know,
I am witchcraft.
No, how do you do that? Right. Well, that didn't help me at all. I've done that. I've taken the nap, and I don't. So I was just curious, when you're working through one of those problems, as everyone has experienced, when they're trying to write something that they're doing that's really important, and it's like, look, I've got a problem here, and I'm trying to solve it. And we've all seen the writing exercises that are available online. There's great teachers. If you've gone through writing programs, you've probably had someone say, well, this is how you tackle a problem. But we all find our own solutions, too. Yeah. It's what, you know, we take what we learn from other people and we put it together in what works for us. I'm curious about what your process was like there, because I feel like it can almost feel like this, like, arcane, you know, esoteric knowledge, where there's a degree of people like, nah, man, you only find out when you get there, and then you don't talk about it. But if you're willing to talk about it, if you're willing to, you know, tempt fate for both of us potentially by revealing the deep hidden secrets, what's your methodology for going, I have a problem, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to solve it, and this is how I'm going to work at it, work through it, however you chose to proceed?
Yeah, I have a process I feel like a lot of people can relate to. And I have some experiences I feel like a lot of people can relate to, because I think, like yourself, it sounds like you've tried to just absorb all these different ways to create and write in your own way, but like that people who have told you this is what you should do. And I think there's a lot of legitimacy to a lot of those things. Like, hey, if you're going to be a writer, you got to write like at least a little. Like, I'm of the umbrella or of the excuse me, of the company or the group of like, you don't have to write every day. And I have to tell myself that because I don't write every day. But like, the process is different. But there's I think there's things that we can all pick and choose from, different things that we like that'll work the best. I could be better at writing more often. But will that produce, you know, things that I like? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I need to try it more. But my process, though, is I'm very much in my head a lot. Like, I'll think about, like, I was thinking about these stories, at least a few of the stories, like, maybe, like, 6 months to a year before I even started writing them. My first book, I was thinking about for, like, 3 years before I put any words down. That's too long. That's too long. I don't want anybody to, like, think that and go, that sounds good. It's not. It's not good. I'm not writing enough, and I'm not writing fast enough. But, like, that's kind of my process, though, as I'm a thinker, and I'll sit there and just focus on it. I can't take a nap. Like you said, I wish I could. I wish I could take a nap and wake up and to have the answer, but that's just not how it works. I sit there with these things just churning in my head pretty much all day, and it's exhausting. But it happens. You know, I'll be at the gym, and all of a sudden I'll just go blank, and I already have kind of like a scowl anyway, and I'll just be at the gym or something and I'll just get into a thinking mode, and I'll just sit there and be staring, and I'll look up, and someone's like looking at me because I'm looking at them or over there. And I'm like, oh, sorry, shoot. You know, so that's kind of, it's just kind of like I'm always in my head about it. Oh, what's that? Oh, I lost your sound.
Nope. Oh, just a sticky button.
There we go.
Yeah, resting gym face. I totally get it. Like, I've had more than plenty of times where suddenly you're doing a set and you're like, yeah, that's just me. And then as soon as the other person gets it, they're like, oh, totally get it. Because it's happened to them at some point too. You know, you're either tired, you're really focused, or you're thinking about the next thing. And then suddenly you're like, wait, where am I looking? Oh, hi. Hi. I'm fine. Sorry. We're good.
Sorry. I promise I'm not like
getting to the next set.
I'm just like,
right.
It's all the time.
But as you said, they live in your head. They're spinning around. Clearly, it might affect Jim. Do you ever find yourself writing emails to like somebody for work, and you're like, "Yeah, I was like, no, that's not actually about you. I'm gonna copy and paste that to a document, save that for later, and then we're gonna get back." Does it ever go that far, or are you able to like maintain at least that sort of separation?
That's interesting. No, I haven't. Doesn't ever really physically come out, because like I said, it's like pulling teeth to get me to write anything for myself. So I'm not, I wish I could write, like, I wish, I just need to be more disciplined in that aspect. But yeah, no, I don't actually physically fall into it. The worst though is my poor girlfriend has to deal with me just checking the out, you know, all of a sudden, because all of a sudden I drop into, like, I'm starting to think. And she says, hello, you know, are we, what do you think about that? I'm like, sorry, stories. Thinking about, she knows now, you know, we've been together long enough, she knows now. I'm like, oh, sorry, stories. Stories took over for a sec. And she's like, okay, well, okay. So that's kind of where it mostly, yeah.
Come back. Back
to reality for a sec, you know. It's fun though, you know, but.
I also love what you were mentioning about the video logs too. You know, it's such an interesting, you know, approach on, like, the epistolary sort of, like, you know, the old days when it was like, oh, you could write letters and people wrote letters and there were books. Well, I think back to the old, one of the first ones I remember was, like, not Dear Mr. Crenshaw, but it was a book about a kid writing to an author. Like, he gets this assignment in school and the entire book is just letters between him and another person. And you're like, yeah. Huh. Okay, but instead you're taking a future version of that. You're showing us what these video logs look like. It's a way for these characters to show us and maybe inform us probably in a number of ways just what it is they're facing, what all the complications are, and what it means to them through their voice, which I think has to be a really fun experience for you too.
Yeah, it was cool because, like, that one was fun because I think there was a lot of freedom a little bit more with it because it's essentially all dialogue, right? So, like, it's a text extract is what it was, like, you know, because I kind of, like, the way I set it up, it's like the full video is classified, but the text extract is, you know, allowed for whoever's viewing this sort of thing. That's kind of how I preface it to kind of make it work. So, you know, it's just the text extract of these videos. But it was kind of cool because so it's just essentially all dialogue, which was really fun because, like you said, you can really just go in and explore, like, it's just like pure character emotion the whole time, right? Back and forth, these two characters talking back and forth and, like, what is going on up there, what's going on down there, how are you feeling, how are the kids down there, are they handling it? Well, you know, and you get this, like, this real conversation, or I try to make it like a real conversation, you know. And I think that's why those are so fun, and I think that's why, like, why I think I'm so attracted to, like I was talking about, like, video, like the same thing, like these letters or in video games, you find these, you know, like all these different, like video logs. You'll find video logs in video games. You'll find journal entries in video games. But it's not like people trying to write a story. It's just people writing their experiences down. And sometimes they'll have great stories, you know, just out of these characters that you don't even ever get to see, but you can just kind of imagine, like, what they're going through because you're going back and you're exploring, you know, wherever they're at, and you see this whole scene of whatever is happening, right? Awful things or beautiful things or whatever, and these characters are talking about it, you know, and they kind of tell their own little story. And it's so, I don't know, I've always been so attracted to that because it just feels like very just raw characters that get portrayed in these things, right? And so
yeah, I also feel like you get a chance to experience, and this is just, you know, I didn't get it as much when I was younger and reading it because I hadn't come to a place where I was on the other side trying to create this thing. Mm-hmm. But now when I see those moments, I feel like you get the chance to see sort of the inner mind of the creator. There's like this awareness of them that there's certain things that they have to leave out for the part of the story. And that they understand. Like, hey, I can't tell everything I want to tell. I can't go for 6 pages on how technology works and what it all means and why this is very important. You're going to lose your reader. They're like, I didn't buy a manual. I bought a story, or I wanted to read a story. And because of that, it's almost like you get the opportunity to see as much of the world as they can tell you about through those characters, knowing that those other parts weren't available for the type of story they're telling. So at least you get these ideas. And more and more, I get this huge kick now that I'm thinking about this for anybody who would read yours. They're going to get to see as much as you've been imagining about these worlds, as far as the stories and the characters involved with them. That's got to be a lot of fun that you get to stretch in that way, where sometimes in a story you're like, yeah, but I can't really, like, that doesn't work for what I'm doing. But here, in here in this story with their characters are talking to each other, I can do that. I don't know. I was curious if you ever, you know, had that sort of thinking where it's like you almost get to see deeper into the world through those characters' experiences.
Yeah, I think so. Because, like, I think so. And it kind of goes back to character-driven stories. I mean, like, I love my other project, which is, like I said, this big, like, Star Wars-y sort of Mass Effect world where I, like, created a bunch of, you know, planets and aliens and made a whole scenario about things. But I definitely go into more of, like, there's so many playing parts and characters all interacting with each other, and you kind of get a little less on things, a little more world-building, which I love. I love building settings and stuff like that. But this one, like, he's like going back to it, like you get these characters and you get to really explore the world through their lens, you know, because you only, like, that's how I tried to approach it too. And like I think I was saying, it's like you only have a finite time to tell a story in these short stories. So it's like, it's, you really got to use these characters as like a vessel or like definitely to like really open up the world. And then I think I learned a lot as just a writer in general with this one, because I was like, okay, I think everybody can kind of do that with all of their stories, and I wasn't aware that I could do that until I started doing it. I was like, oh my gosh, I can just, you know, tell the story through the lens of these characters.
Am I allowed?
Am I supposed to be? This feels good. I should do this more.
Right. Is this right?
Yeah, it just kind of unfolded that way, but it, like you said, it is such a nice tool to use and to have, because I don't think anything, and it's hard, it's a little harder, right? Because we all want to take like 4 pages and describe the world and the technology and stuff, and like I said, I'm wordy. I listen to me now, I'm talking, you know, and it comes out in my writing.
I don't know what you're talking about. You make me feel great about myself, so I'm doing fine. Really, just keep it going.
That's what I do. I try to make people feel better about themselves and these ways.
We lift each other up.
Exactly. So, but it's a good challenge though to really condense the world building through the character's lens, because you have to like flirt that line of like, am I telling too much? Is this character really talk, like, would this character say this so blatantly when everybody around them knows the technology? Like, no, you have to find different ways to describe it, right? Because they're not going to be like, the flux modulator, which pushes this much and, you know, gravity pulses, that nobody talks like that if they know what's going on, right? So you kind of have to find different ways to world build. it's fun. It was
you know, that guy's out there who's like, what is the clumsy exposition? And you're like, you're the guy who watches the movie and says that. I got to watch out for you because you're reading. Yeah. You're out there. You know, if I do that, you're going to be like, hey, you could have done it better. And you're like, gotcha. No, right.
I don't know.
Gotcha.
I try not to judge. I know. I don't judge too hard. I try to cheer on people. You know, it's hard. Creating's hard.
Agree, but I hear those voices when I'm doing mine when it gets too clunky. And I remember that person who, when I've been watching something and I'm like, oh, yeah, I noticed it, but you said it. Okay. I'm not the only one who noticed it. Wow. Be aware. You know, people will call that out. They have no problem.
Totally, I see what you're saying. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, and it's one of those challenges, right, where you find yourself, you know, sort of being critical with yourself at some point. Like, yes, I love it, but do I need it? Does it work for what I'm trying to do? And at what point do I got to make the hard call? I always have a separate document called cuts for whatever that project is. And it's everything that I'm just like copy and paste it over. Because I dream, like, maybe I could work that back in some point. Knowing 95% of the time I'm not, but it's almost like, you know, you just go there. You're still valuable. You know, you're still a beautiful thing, whatever you were saying, but you go there.
I still love you, but you gotta go
right
here.
So I feel like, you know, it's possible that we could tease a little bit about this bigger project. You're talking about this larger, grander, potentially more epic, without giving away too many details, but maybe giving enough of a tease for an idea of maybe just talking about the fact that when we're looking at stories like, or at projects like either Perspectives or Astral Frontier, you know, you're talking about short stories that are collected that either are just part of an anthology or are dealing with something that's clearly more thematic with Astral Frontier. With this next project you're going to, how are you, you know, maybe deviating from that by going for just a full straight-on narrative? Are you incorporating some of these things that we've seen in other stuff? You know, without, we're going to talk about the thing without naming the thing, I guess is what I'm suggesting here. How do you feel about that idea? Let people know what you're doing.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so this one was, you know, I wrote it before. It was my first book that I wrote, and it's still my baby project, you know what I mean? And I got other things in the works, but I got, this one was is definitely one that I think I'm going to continue on. I want it to be at least a legit trilogy, you know, and build this sort of living, thriving sci-fi world. And I definitely took some things from across or from this and put it in Across the Astral Frontier. Definitely writing process, thinking about it too dang long and then not writing anything down.
All right. That's the first one.
That's the moving first on. That's the first one. No, but, they're so tonally different. And like you said, narrative wise, like it's hard, like, that's why I think it was so fun to write Across the Astral Frontier versus I have a name for it, but I don't think I'm going to change it for my big project. Is that they're so different, and it really challenged me quite a bit, because this one was just like, I just sat and just thought about the world and like how I was going to incorporate this technology into, you know, the story. And this one is more like, I keep saying Mass Effect. I don't know if you've ever played Mass Effect, but it's...
I have not, but I'm familiar with some of the concepts, and one of the projects I was working on back in 2017, we were developing a game, and I was on the story side. And so there were different references to things that I would try and at least immerse myself in enough to sort of know, like, okay, so what's our reference here? Okay, so it's about this. But unfortunately, they start to blend, because then I would be like, wait, is that Mass Effect? Is that Halo? Hold on. There's a thing and there's a guy and there's a, no. So I'm familiar with some of it, but for me and anyone else who's like, yeah, is there a cliff notes? Can I get some bullet points? Maybe start with the frame of reference for a little bit about Mass Effect and then translate that to, you know, how there are parallels with your upcoming project.
Yeah, like you say, they blend together. There's a guy with a gun and they're trying to save the world or whatever, you know. Yeah, I get it.
No. There's a power source and there's, you know, there's a risk and there's also.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's kind of funny. This started because Mass Effect and Star Wars, you know, sort of, and I've grown up a little bit since I've thought this and I don't care as much anymore. But back in my youth, like 10 years ago when I started writing this book, I was like, Star Wars, what happened with the, this was before we got the sequels, we got the prequels, and now I like the prequels, but back then I was like, now I like the prequels, but I was like,
funny how that happens, right?
I was like, all right, these aren't so bad.
I got older,
and I'm like, okay, I can just appreciate things and not be a crotchety jerk, but back then they kind of fueled me. I was like, okay, so Star Wars, I don't really like the prequels, and Mass Effect, I didn't really like, you know, whatever. Like I said, I've learned, I've tried to be more open to things, but back then in my 10 years ago brain, I was like, I'm going to write my own world. I'm going to build my own world, my own Star Wars Mass Effect world. So it's like Mass Effect essentially is this video game that centers around humanity finding this technology that catapults them. It's in the far future as well. Catapults them into the ranks of galactic, I guess, prowess, and they meet other species. You know, it's kind of like a mix between Star Wars and maybe like not Dune, but kind of, I guess, I don't know. But so it's, you're faced with a big oncoming threat in Mass Effect, and you have to get a crew and fly around and, you know, fly around the solar system and do different things on all the planets. It's really cool. It's such a story-based game. There's so much story in it, you know, like character development and stuff. So it's great, and I wanted to create something that felt like that, in a sense, while also feeling like, I don't know, it's almost, well, it's hard, like you said, it's hard to describe, I guess, now, but I wanted to just build a world where the reader can get lost, kind of like I did in Mass Effect, and get lost in these worlds, and obviously there's, like, you know, universal threats that are happening, but the whole idea of it was just, how can I bring someone with the perspective of just like living how we are in Earth, you know, and throw them out into this world. And so you kind of follow the, I guess you could say, the Harry Potter sort of structure, and the sort of like this person who is completely ignorant to a world out there gets thrown into that world. So the reader kind of gets to follow them along and learn with them, which I always think is really fun, especially for the reader, because it makes, I think, the characters a little bit more, the main character a little bit more relatable, even if they are boring in that respect, you know? And so that's kind of what I wanted to build. I wanted to build like a thing where a character gets thrown into this world and has a purpose for some reason, right? And it's just this keeps growing and growing as you keep reading. And it's just, oh, wow, this is like a vast world with all these different species. And, oh, now there's worldly conflicts, you know, like planetary huge conflicts going on. And then all of a sudden you bring it down to the characters. And I tried to model around the same RPG mindset that Mass Effect did. And stuff like that. And like, okay, here are your base characters. Here's your, like, you know, your sharpshooter and your person. And they're all this kind of this team that are going and they build their relationships together. So you, and then, but they're also taking on these grand scale sort of, you know, problems as well. So it's, that one was different, obviously very different from like focusing on, you know, the horrors of space on a human level. This one's more like pew pew fun. We're gonna have some good times. We're gonna have some bad times, but you know.
We've got an adventure, we got some hero's journey, we've got exactly. You know, exploring yep. new worlds.
Yeah.
All of those favorite things you can enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
I really enjoyed the connection there to Mass Effect, and it also made me just wonder. You mentioned that H.P. Lovecraft was an early influence. You know, mm-hmm. you enjoyed the stories. You found that they you know, made you think about different things that you wanted to explore. But I'm also wondering when there comes a point where you start branching out from your first introductions to sci-fi and or fantasy. I can you know, definitely remember there was a point where I was reading stuff because I maybe had a teacher read it to me in an elementary class or something else like that. And then I went searching for either that book or for something similar. Mm-hmm. And then through the process of discovery, it's like you're looking for a title, but you see that binder next to it and you're like, well, what's this?
Yeah.
Maybe. And then, I mean, it's such a different tactile experience to explain to anyone who didn't grow up with like libraries as being their yeah. first reference to access stories. But right. that was sort of the process of discovery, right? And I'm curious, once you had Lovecraft, who kind of were other maybe either formative references like high school and beyond, or maybe even now where you're like, you know, I like to read certain things, or I follow certain authors and certain storylines or worlds because they also inspire me when I'm working on stuff, or just who you enjoy overall.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. yeah, I was gonna say it's a big list and now it's getting real short now that I'm put on the spot. Right. But
well, let's maybe just start with, you know, from younger, you know, who did you move on to from Lovecraft? Did you pick up any young, like, sci-fi, horror, and or fantasy? Because I know that there's, you know, there were a number of different titles that you could get into, that there were mm-hmm. series that were, you know, they gave you plenty of time to explore those worlds. And they were written for, you know, a growing audience, but maybe one that was still 13 to 16 or, yeah. you know, 10 to 13 and stuff like that. So do you remember who the next logical progression was from Lovecraft? Considering Lovecraft's fairly dense, so wherever you're going
yeah.
to...
Well, it was, yeah, it was there. Kind of funny, because I didn't actually start reading Lovecraft until just a little bit ago, honestly. I'd read a couple. I think I might have misspoke, but I'd read a couple, like, as a kid, maybe, kind of, like, and it didn't really grab me. I didn't really get it. I was definitely more attracted to, like, the Stephen King, Dean Koontz, sort of genres of horror.
Dean Koontz is definitely one that I feel is like, yeah. you know, is like everywhere you time you went to the shelves, there were at least 15 books of that person
well,
up.
Oh,
so you always yeah. had something to choose,
I
right?
Like, I guess I'll choose a couple. And then I read so much Dean Koontz growing up. It was crazy. And I still read it every once in a while. And then obviously Stephen King. And then, like you said, I didn't read, start reading, like I read a couple stories like when I was younger and I didn't really get it. like I did, like you said, it was kind of dense, and I just didn't. I was definitely more attracted to like the Stephen King and Dean Koontz horrors, where there's more like, you know, this dude is stalking these people, and there's some paranormal powers and things going on that are kind of unexplainable, right. You know, and which is awesome, and I still love that kind of stuff. But yeah, I didn't really. I was already started writing. I can't remember when I started reading Lovecraft. It was already started when I started writing, and I was like, oh, I get this now. Like, I get it. Like, it's like, it's so much more like, you know, character. Like, it's just about the emotions of the characters kind of going through this unexplainable, most of the time, not all the time, but it's like, you know, unexplainable things, which is really cool, to me at least. And then there's a ton of influence, man. I obviously love Lord of the Rings and things like that. Dune was great. I've got Seven Thieves up here, which is awesome. It's a really cool sci-fi book. And then another, like, what do I look for now, I guess? I just try to find something. I love Peter Kleins. So Peter Kleins is a dude out there creating like his own little like all these interconnected stories, but he's definitely within like the paranormal, weird cosmic horror realm, but definitely writes more like almost like action thriller. So it's very snappy reading, and he's very good. He seems like a pretty chill dude too. So he's like, he's one of my tops right now. I love House of Leaves is another huge influence on me. I actually kind of took a story and I kind of ripped from it, I guess, but it's just it's structure poetry, I guess you could say, or structure writing where you kind of mess with the words. But House of Leaves is this huge, huge influence on me. And I read this book and I was like, I have never read anything like this. This is insane. It's crazy. Structurally, the most unique book I've ever read. What is this? I want to write something where someone goes, what the fuck, too? Like that one really got me to where I was like, all right, I think that's like, I really want to write something that someone goes, what the fuck? You know, so yeah, man. This is
what did they just do to my brain? What did they do to my brain?
Yeah, what happened? What was this? Like, that was just everything I loved, and I still don't know what the hell happened. So, yeah, man, I kind of try to pull from everywhere, and I try not to limit so much. But yeah, it's I don't know. It's one of those things, and I keep saying it too, but like I love games, and I think video games I actually take in more story probably from video games than I do reading, you know, but it's like I think they have some really incredible stories and the way they tell them and stuff like that. So it's like I think I'm just justifying, because if I'm not reading, I have to say, well, I'm playing a story-based game, so it kind of counts as reading and writing, so I can play games.
The validation, right? I need the justification and the validation. Yeah, I need to justify why I'm not doing that by validating what I am doing for the reasons I'm... Yeah. I totally get it. We're going to create our own narrative as it best satisfies. But I think including games is a great idea. So if other ones come to mind that you're like, these were other big sort of references for me, or they inspired great ideas or even encouraged possibilities. Because I'm reminded, you know, when you were talking about different points, you know, the idea of like a giant world. I remember like Star Trek was so much the standard up until a certain point. And then J. Michael Straczynski shows up with Babylon 5. Yeah. And I'm kind of laughing going, oh my, there's a whole other like, how many different new species are there? And it was at a time where I was working in life and soccer, and I couldn't follow it. This was a different era. You're right. There was like, it was on cable, and unless I had the VCR, which I didn't because it was my family, so everyone had access to that, and plenty of people had recording choices that beat mine. Plus, you got to have the tape in and all these different things to even like catch up or catch the marathon. Mm-hmm. So suddenly someone just cracked the door for me with that. And then, you know, when we were talking earlier about sci-fi and horror, man, I saw Event Horizon and it broke my brain for about, you know, maybe a couple of months. Like it just wasn't healthy afterwards.
Yeah.
No. And the horror of like, hold on. Wait, you mean space-time and warping isn't positive? They're not going to be like, hi, welcome, you made it. It could be like ominous and terrifying and evil. Right. And then from there, it just seemed like more and more people said, hey, what if we threw this Deep Space Nine concept and took Star Trek and made it into kind of like a social political drama? And then what if somebody else came along and just said, okay, whole new concept. Here's a universe. These are the peoples. And that became more of an accepted idea. And I do think that, interestingly, games were one of those places where that could happen even more frequently than, say, movies and or television. Because you had the gold standards of Star Wars and Star Trek, where everyone's going, well, if it's not as good as that, what's the point? Or if it doesn't meet that in so many different ways, you know, you're going up against a huge risk. Whereas games, they were able to branch out in story in ways that it was almost kind of like, not saying it was insidious, but it was certainly unrecognized at the time. It just happened. I remember a buddy of mine got into Resident Evil, and suddenly I found myself really captivated by this, like, interesting story idea. Plot-driven narrative, video logs, you know, the messages left behind by people. Things like that where, mm-hmm. where narrative was, that was a place that you could go to for narrative. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that, you know, maybe in some ways it was almost so gradual between games and other media that you were like, yeah, it just kind of happened all around me. So that informed me and that informed.
Yeah. Honestly.
You know, you're just sort of like, come on, get in here.
Yeah. No, honestly.
Am I close?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're kind of right spot on, you know, like And games, like you said, snuck up, I think, a little bit. You know, people were, it was kind of funny because, like, I think you have a good point there and about, like, creative freedom maybe with shows and movies versus games, especially at the start. Now now games are such a huge entity that, like, it's getting to the point where they're kind of like, create, you know, movies are, they're just huge. They're these huge productions, 5 years. But, like, how they
AAA games never existed maybe 20 years ago. That wasn't even a concept. Like, what's a AAA game? What are you talking about?
They're all what? what is that? What do you mean? What do you mean it's
going
to take 5 years to make? What do you mean it's going to take 5 years to make?
No. Are you sure we're not just talking about, you know, another Mario Brothers? Like, come on, how hard can it get here?
Just a TV side scroller, just going to jump on some turtles? Like, that's 5 years? Come on. No, but yeah, because like you said, I think there's TV and movies have always had some creative restrictions, I think, on what's popular, and they're a little bit more. And then games I think were like a safe haven for all nerds alike for a long time, and they kind of got creative freedom to just do whatever they were gonna do, you know, and they made amazing things, and it just kind of has flourished into this, to me, like one of the best mediums to tell a story, because I think you really get like so many elements. It's like books might be the most detailed and imaginative insofar as like the reader has to create the world, you know, in their brain sort of thing. And there's so much detail. Movies are great, but they're just like, you know, movies are movies. They're awesome. They're amazing. And they're their own, you know, storytelling devices. When you're talking about like as far as like detailed stories, right? You got like books. I think games might have like are right there. The only thing is like you're fed the story, or you're fed the setting, and you're fed the, so you kind of don't have to work as hard as books to like create what you see. But as far as like detail and like you have to play the experiences, like, you know, you have to play things out, and you get to go and find things, and you like are living the story, is I think such a huge component to how people experience the story. And I've had some of my best story experiences from games. And I think horror games might be better than horror books. Don't let me say that, because I'm trying to come out with a horror book. But the idea that you actually, you're not reading, that you have to walk down the hall, but you have to actually walk down, like you have to force yourself to walk down the dark hallway. Like, you have to do it. Like, there's no, like, I think there just gets a little bit more visceral scares, you know, as far as that. But yeah, there's been so many influences, like you said, from all over, and games are one of those things where I didn't realize how important they were to me until I started writing. And I was like, I'm taking this from this, or I'm like, I want to try to incorporate that in my book. And I found so many influences from games, and I was like, oh wow. Like, and I started really thinking about like how many great story-based games there were and how much I've actually experienced. And I'm like, wow, I need to read more. Because I played too many.
Well, not only that, but I'm going to throw you something that you know, it's coming to me now, and I don't want to forget it for later, but I have a buddy of mine who just released his novel, and interestingly, along the way, he created a Spotify playlist, and I've known some people that have done this, where they're like, this is what I listen to when I'm creating, and I almost wonder if you could do something where for each one of these books, you could have a list of the video games that you played while writing the books and post it and let people know, like, hey, do you like these kinds of games? Because I wrote these books or these stories while playing these games, and see if you can find any connections, references, because I feel like to a degree, games could have that same relevance as like a music playlist, almost like a gaming playlist to go along with your media. So I'm throwing that out there because it was just like, I got to remember that because I'll forget it. I will.
No, thank you. I appreciate that because that's a hell of an idea. I probably should start doing that because I definitely have like a Spotify playlist for my books too, like your friend does.
Nice.
But I think I got a good game list. I got a good game list too. That's a good idea.
No, I feel like you do, and I feel like it would be really fun to let people, you know, follow along in that sort of way, because if they're familiar with the games, that might also be like another great way for them to go like, okay, wait a minute, so you're saying I might see influences of these games, or, you know, I might have someone who understands these games, who's written short stories, and since I like these games, there's a chance I might like these stories too. Yeah. It's like another way of looking at short stories and books as being something connected to something else that you love, like video games or music.
Right. right.
That's really fun.
That is.
No, I like the possibility of it. I think it could go. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how that plays out.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Start doing that.
You know, I think then I'm going to switch this question up. I was lucky enough to talk with a comic guy who also did like CW shows and stuff like that. His name's Mark Guggenheim. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that when he writes something, because he writes comics and he writes like Arrow and shows like that. And he was like, yeah, before I write something, sometimes I'll read something that is like how I want to write. And then I'll sit down and either I'll read it the night before or I'll get up and I'll read some of that. And then I'll go and write, knowing that because I read that, it's going to be part of my reference or part of how I'm already thinking. Is there stuff that maybe you do with games now, or even classic games like Mass Effect, where it's like, it's almost like I got to go get my head right. And this is part of the way of getting my head right. I'm going to play this game for a little bit. I'm going to think about these ideas that this game always sort of brings up for me. And then when I turn around to write about this, it's like I've already, you know, turned on the burner, started the kindling and got the fire going kind of an idea. That would be an interesting sort of thing I guess I'm curious about.
Yeah, no, totally. I actually did that with Mass Effect a lot with my first book. The one I was talking about. Because, like,
yeah.
And it's the same, I think it's the same thing with songs, too. Songs, like, invoke a feeling that I want. For, like, I'll have, like, I had, like, for Across the Astral Frontier, I had, like, 3 songs per, like, each story. And for some, and, like, I would listen to them and they would just put me in the mood, right? And they would just get my head on. And games have done that totally. Mass Effect did the same thing. So with my other book, I was like, I would play it and I would do the exact same thing. Because that's really funny that you brought that up. And I would absolutely do that. And I still do it. And I'll be playing a game and I'll go, the feeling, most of the time it's like, okay, how do I invoke this like sense of wonder that I'm feeling right now, right? Like this app, like that's what Mass Effect was for me. Like it was like around every corner, I was learning something new and it was so cool. And this world was just thriving with new things and beautiful things to find. And how can I translate the feeling, you know? And I totally get that. I totally get what your friend, you know, did with that. And reading is the same way. Like, you don't have to totally rip from people, but like House of Leaves is one I was telling you about with like the structure, poetry and stuff like that. I was like, okay, how do I get people to like get really lost in a book? And all of a sudden when these weird things start happening, like that same weird feeling of what the, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and then some, and I love revisiting those things, like you said, to really, to put you in the mood and put you in the mindset. And like I said, Across the Astral Frontier was like Spotify list. I've done it for video games a bunch, you know, but I love that. Yeah, definitely do that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think it's a really fun way to sort of know. I always got this, I really gravitated toward this idea that writing teachers really impressed. And it stuck with me. It was like, look, at some point you're drawing from what you know, right? And it's almost like going to a well. And you're going to keep dropping the bucket and dropping the bucket. Well, guess what? Unless you have like a spring feeding that well, you have to find a way to fill it yourself. So you need to constantly go back to either the things you love that are part of your inspiration, or seek out the new things that are going to, you know, make you think about more than you might have up until this point, you know, show you something new, give you something more to consider. But it was this idea of filling the well that always stuck with me. It was like, again, validation, justification.
Yep.
Why do I need to go do this thing? I got to fill the well. If I'm kicking it out, I have to. Not just a hat rack, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Bang. That's what I'm talking about. Give me more ways to justify it. I will do it. But I think there's a lot of
validity
to that, though. There's a lot of validity. I like that. I like that. I like that thought process a lot. Because it's true, though. It's like you got to go. Either you read, you keep reading, or you keep experiencing new things. And sometimes that doesn't invoke them. Sometimes you go, okay, what do I like, you know? And you got to go back to what, like you said, initially sparks some motivation and some drive, I guess. I do like that, and I realize that. Maybe too much with the games, but that's okay.
Maybe. Well, you know, we haven't invited, but at some point there could be a perspective provided by said girlfriend and or others who are like, yeah, let me tell you how it really goes. We're going to go, oh, Christian. Okay, now we know, right? We just heard the other part of the story. Left some stuff out.
There's always a second story to every situation, I'm telling you. There's one here too, but, you know.
Right. We're not going to get there yet. That's going to be for like the Uncovered series I'll do later. Yeah. I'll come back to everybody. We'll get the deep, dark secrets out. It'll be sort of a, you know, tougher tone. You might want to pour a stiff glass of whiskey.
I was going to say,
you know,
just the whiskey, not the beer for that one. We'll let people think I'm handling this very appropriately and not just
effing all the time. Sure, this is a coffee thing. You don't know what's in here. No, I'm kidding. It's just fine. Coffee, really. It's how I keep the eyelids open. So I think the sort of thing that I always get a kick out of once we've gotten to this point, it's like, okay, so we've talked about what you've done, what you've been doing, maybe what things people can look forward to soon, since you're already on a new project, which is usually one of my questions, like, hey, what do you have coming up next? But the fun thing is, if you do have something coming up next, I always wonder, you know, you played sports, so you're familiar with that philosophy. Hey, it's game by game. We don't think about that game until we finish this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how many times you hear that and how many times you've been told it, but every time you're looking at the schedule, you think about every game.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you're in the middle of something, you know, at some point you think about what's next. So has there been any inklings for you where you're like, you know, there's this thing I could do, or there's this project I could put together. There's a story I've been, it's over there. And if I finish this and it works well, you know, or has it not been thought out that far yet? You know, is there something itching over on the sidelines that like put me in, coach? I'm ready. It's my time to shine, you know? And you're like, okay, I just got to finish this one. And then we're going to get you in there. You know, is that anything you have in the works that's sitting on the side that maybe you've even thought about, like, I could do that next.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the worst part about it, at least for someone like me, is, like, I feel like I got a few things, and I kind of cripple myself into going, well, I don't know what to do. So I just finished my Across the Astral Frontier. It just went up for pre-orders, like, a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago, actually. So I've been telling myself I need to take a break. Just take a break. Just chill out. You've been editing for, you know, 8 months, it feels like. But yeah, do I have... Yeah, of course, there's always other things, because Across the Astral Frontier is something that I want to, you know, make into at least like a trilogy of sorts almost, right? So I've already got things tinkering around there, and I'm like, do I really want to jump into this, or maybe I take a break? I was like, I got to write my second book for my other trilogy over here. And then I'm like, oh, and then I've got this dream book that I've been writing that I have about a third of the way through, and I've been a third of the way through for like 5 years. And I was like, I could pick that up and finish it. Do I have stuff? Oh, yeah, man. Am I mentally crippled and what to start next? Absolutely as well.
Right. But, you know, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches. You know, it's like a good problem to have. I got so many stories. As soon as I have time to work on the next one, you'll be able to pick it up. I mean, I love asking the question, because when it's an answer like that, all I have to do is sort of look at anybody who's watching and go, so you got that, right? There's plenty more coming. I didn't say it. He did. Clearly, there's more on the horizon. And what's great is, you know, you reach a horizon and there's always another one waiting for you. There's always a next destination to pursue. So let's say folks want to keep up with you. Let's say they want to make sure that they have an opportunity, one, to catch up on perspectives, two, to get themselves in line with the pre-order for Across the Astral Frontier. We've already let them know that there's this Mass Effect-related, inspired epic that is waiting and that is in the process, and you've just teased that there's at least one or two other dream projects out there. So folks are going to be like, okay, so how do I stay in the know? And this is your opportunity to let us know, like, where's the best places people can find you and keep up, either sign up, follow, subscribe, do any of that fun stuff. Heck, where do they go?
Yeah, so yes, please go to ASAP Imagination. They are an amazing publishing company that do awesome stuff, from comic books to novels to all the different things. They just really support creators, especially indie creators specifically. ASAPImagination.com, and you can find my work there. If you want to just go and check me out, my social media is at Hooray Christian, H-U-R-R-A-Y Christian. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, I'm on Hive, I'm on Mastodon. You know, I'm just trying them all out. I'm just trying, now that I have a book out, I got to throw them out. I'm trying to just throw a reel out or a line out to every single little pond. And so, yeah, H-U-R-A-Y Christian, and I've got link trees on all of them that can take you directly to Across the Astral Frontier. Pre-orders are up now, which is awesome. I will always be spamming, you know, updates on all of these other projects that we've talked about whenever anything happens. But definitely go also to just ASAP Imagination in general and go support other indie comic creators and story writers, because there's a lot of really cool people with a lot of really awesome stuff there to check out as well. So, I'll leave it at that.
Well done. Well promoted. Well recognized. Good job. I'll let Hades know. Hey, he did good.
He's did all right.
We're good. He's no. Right. But also, you know, if you ever want to be one of the ones who say that, hey, I bought an anthology that goes directly 100% to charity, you can do that through Perspectives. Not only enjoy Christian's work, but, you know, support ASAP Imagination with this very original idea. You can get yourself on the pre-order for Across the Astral Frontier. You can follow him on all the social media. I try to include all the links in the liner notes, but I know some people might be auditory or sort of auditory visual, so hearing you say that might stick for them better than anything I type out in the liner notes. Totally. So it's great to have them know where all those places are. They can let you know that they heard you on here, what they thought about it, ask any questions about all the stuff we've talked about. And with that, my friend, I'm going to give you and I an opportunity to stop recording, behave once again like unobserved human beings, which is very interesting how, you know, we get all like, hi, yeah, very proper, very, I'm on camera, hello, right? And then afterwards, it's like, oh, God, did we, no.
Did I screw up so
it's
much?
Usually, right. Can you cut that when I said thanks? With all of that, stick around for more stories. And Hades has been in touch because he's been letting me know there's more folks involved with ASAP, involved with Any One World. And Christian, as you've let me know, you've got more things on the horizon, so people can look forward to the fact that you'll probably let me know, like, hey, Seth, got a new book, ready to talk about it, want to do a show? So they can look forward to you getting in touch with me and us talking about that soon. He's given you all the ways to get in touch with him. To be honest, you really don't need me anymore at this point. So that's why we're going to also end it, so that you can pick up and follow on with Christian. Hey, man. Thank you. This was a lot of fun. I loved hearing all of it. And
so much fun. Thanks for letting me come and ramble on your channel, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like I said, you're in a good place. If you're rambling, you're in the right place. Clearly, as you can tell from the way I talk. With that, I'm stopping the recording. Take care, everyone.